Hello, Royals fans. Welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics at EMU. I want to welcome you to this week's broadcast. It certainly is good to be back with each of you. Hopefully you're tuning in on a weekly basis to catch what's going on and some of the in-depth look at the athletic program here. We have a variety of things we're going to cover today. I'm joined once again by our Sports Information Director, James DeBoer, and I think he has now gotten his fingers and his brain and everything else back into shape after a very, very busy weekend of athletic events. And again, we will not spend a lot of time recapping each sport in depth and each event because that is on the webpage and some very good articles that I think capture it. Naturally, it's a little bit difficult. Let me ask you that question while we start. I'll throw this one right off the top of my head. When you have an away game, how do you manufacture the story? What do you use to come up with it clearly when you're there? Mm-hmm. And I think it's obvious that you have more to write, more perspective to write from on a home match. Right. So you may have been able to do more of that with volleyball, although it was a busy weekend. What do you use to kind of recapture? Because I know one of your passions is to tell the story.
Yeah.
And that's both in statistics as well as the flow and the personal
sure.
part of the game. So how do you do it on an away contest? Because I know we don't have coaches who call you on the way home every
night. Right. So, I mean, the basics of what happens is that the home SID is always responsible for sending out a game file afterwards, whether it's stats or like for cross country, the file with, you know, the results on it. That's the basics of what I get. Sometimes that's all that what I get. And so I guess I just sit down and look at, if that's all I got, I'll look down and check out the box score and try to get a feel for what some of the stats are saying about things. And, For some events, like our women's soccer team played at Gallaudet Wednesday night, and there was a video stream of that. So I had some time at home, and I was able to watch some of that video stream. Actually saw both of our goals, so that was nice, and it gave me a little better picture to paint of how the goals went in and such. And so there's different ways to get notes in. I know sometimes cross-country coach Jason Lukowitz will fire me back a text or two just to give me an idea about the game, and sometimes other coaches will do that as well. So it's a little bit different for every event, but the basics is that I just get a file and I got to sit down and decipher what the statistics mean and how to spit that out into an article.
Is it helpful, or do you ever wait until the home team has posted their article to get anything about it?
I have done that occasionally, a few times. It's not always intentional. Usually I'm just ready to get some up on the website, but sometimes if haven't gotten it up and the other team already has, I might look over theirs. I did just remember also, like for soccer, a lot of times when the statistician is inputting a goal into soccer, you can add a quote comment about it. And so if you look closely at the women's soccer match from Wednesday night, both of the goals, if you go into the play-by-play, do describe what happened in the goal. So you can see things from that as well. You know, they might give a little descriptor, like, you know, a corner served to the middle of the field, slid in, or something like that. And so you got to figure out what that shorthand meant, right. Of course.
I'm sure every sports information director writes a little bit differently, mm-hmm. but I'm sure that listeners know that if they really want a more in-depth, typically you could go to the homepage of the home team and find their article if you really wanted to hear more about it, just recognizing that it's their perspective.
You might not even hear our team.
Well, that's true. And yeah, you might. And the reality is maybe they weren't even at the game themselves,
yeah.
although I doubt that, although they could do it that way. Well, let's recap just a little bit from last weekend. It was the first weekend of competition, so mm-hmm. We did have everybody in action, and it was just an extremely busy weekend. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we've already started talking about schedule for 14, and Jeff Tyson Women's Volleyball would like to host another tournament, and I said as long as no one else wants to host a tournament, a home game we might be able to manage, but I'm not sure about two. So we're working at that. We still opened up with a women's volleyball tournament, and everybody else was on the road. So whatever you'd like to just give us some highlights of the past weekend, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, that tournament was a lot of fun and of course, a great chance for anyone in the area to come out and see a lot of volleyball. We had some pretty decent crowds, but it was just a lot of fun, a good chance for our women. The volleyball team is pretty young again this year. They do return a few key players. But we also lost a few key players to cross-cultural studies and et cetera. So it was fun to watch the women's volleyball team figure out how to play. Had a few injuries that they were working back into shape throughout the weekend. So that was a lot of fun, but definitely a good experience for the volleyball women. The soccer teams both looked pretty solid over the weekend. The men struggled a little bit. against Mary Washington. It was a scoreless game at halftime, but just got away from them in the second half. But the soccer women, they're now 2-0 on the year. Of course, we have not jumped into ODAC play, but they've looked pretty well as well. I think the soccer women should be a lot of fun this year with a good handful of returners and a bunch of new players as well. So it should be fun to see how they all work in. Field hockey had a tough weekend, playing a couple of pretty good programs up in southeast Pennsylvania, and we got shut out both times. But we find that with field hockey a lot. Coach Brenda Beckler always has really tough non-conference schedule to get us ready for conference. And so our non-conference schedule doesn't always, the record doesn't always look the prettiest. And I think this weekend was one of the evidences of that, coming home with a couple of losses. Cross country, I think they basically did what we thought they were going to do. The women's team has a number of injuries, a number of the top runners not running yet this year. And so they're not quite where we expect them to be at the end of the year. And the men's team is just basically getting their feet wet at the NCAA level. Most of the upperclassmen are transfers. We only have a couple of returnees, and then there's a lot of freshmen. And so they're all getting used to NCAA Division III levels. So they did pretty much what we thought. But overall, it was really exciting to watch how our teams just kind of settled in and what they did over opening weekend.
Well, again, we've mentioned several times on here, in some ways it's a good barometer, in other ways it really isn't. And so, but certainly to get into competitive action is what even some younger players, I'm sure, are looking forward to see just how it's made up, what happens, mm-hmm. Making the adjustments. We'll talk about that in just a little bit for the freshmen. But, you know, everybody's chomping a bit to get started. They were 3-a-days for the whole first week and then getting settled into classes, and it's finally good to get competition under their belt. So that's always pretty good. What do we have coming up this weekend?
Not the busiest week for home events. The volleyball team played Mary Baldwin Thursday night. But this weekend, just one home event, a women's soccer team out on the field. And I think that should be a lot of fun out in the turf field. This is going to be the first chance for anyone in the area to check out our new bleachers. I'm excited for that. And I think the game is going to be an exciting game as well. But Saturday afternoon at 2, the soccer women playing host to Ferrum. So it should be a lot of fun. Come on out, check out a good team, check out the brand new bleachers that can hold 1,000 people and provide a really neat stadium feel. So just come out and check that out. Some of our other teams are on the road. So basically, if you live north or east of here, you got a chance to see our teams on the road again. The soccer men up in Camden, New Jersey, playing a couple of games Saturday and Sunday. They're playing out there. The volleyball team is in the D.C. area at Catholic University, playing two games each on Saturday and Sunday. So a lot of good chances up in that direction to see our teams on the road. And field hockey is actually in Baltimore this weekend, playing a couple of games hosted by Johns Hopkins. They'll play the Blue Jays on Sunday and play a neutral match on Saturday as well. So if you're northeast of here, you've got good chances this
weekend. Well, once again, we have not been able to get all of our postcards out to everybody who lives in some of those areas, but hopefully those of you that are tuning in and following the Royals are checking out the schedule and seeing that they're in their area, even if it is a sport that you didn't play or don't know much about. A good opportunity to see some EMU people there, and would certainly welcome you to come out. So, again, check things out, and if you're in the area, make sure that you come out. Watch for all the results as well. One of the things that occurred this week, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, is we do run a first-year class for all freshman class, or a first-year class for first-year athletes. And it is called Bridging the Gap, and I was fortunate enough to be able to teach the first section of that this week. And I thought I just wanted to highlight a couple of things out of there. It's unique in the sense that I've mentioned this maybe before, but two highlights I want to point out. One is that one of the things I have them do is to have them think back about how much progress they've made as an athlete from their freshman year to their senior year in high school. Mm-hmm. And so we start by saying, okay, how much was that? And they, you know, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. The way in which they played as a ninth grader and then the 12th grader certainly is phenomenal amount of growth. Mm-hmm. And then I asked them what they anticipate will be their 4 years here from freshman to senior in college. And typically it's at least half, if not even less than that, that they think they're going to improve as a player. And so we talk about that. And the reason I point it up is because the growth that happened from ninth to 12th is all natural. You just become more coordinated. You become stronger. You become faster. You understand the game more. Even if you don't do a lot of lifting or nutritional control or anything like that, even working out, you just become a better player for the most part. And so to some degree, by the time they've gotten here, they've kind of reached the point of, they might have, example I used was, maybe they took 10 or 15 seconds off their 400 time between ninth and 12th grade. And I don't think they're going to do that here. It's going to be seconds, two or three. Things change a lot. And so the problem comes in, I want them to understand how little they will actually, quote, improve as a player from the outward perspective. Mm-hmm. And the hardest part is to have them figure out, okay, what is that growth? Because it happened naturally, and this isn't going to happen naturally. And so we're going to talk about that for the next couple of weeks. It's a 6-week class, and we're able to meet with about 30 of them at a time, and some good interaction times going on. And it was great to be able to have them sort of see that mm-hmm. and understand that. Another thing I also asked them to do, and we'll talk about what that amount of growth is. And I've told them before that high school, and particularly club ball and recreational sports, don't prepare them well for college, in the sense that all of this stuff happened naturally, and now you're going to have to work probably two or three times as hard as you did in high school at different things, but the success is only going to be minimal. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that really frustrates people, and they sort of give up on it and they get out. So it's nutrition, it's mental aspects, it's the constant repetition of the skill at a faster pace, at a stronger pace. It's strength and conditioning out of season. And so I think we're sort of in this I better go run a couple of miles in preparation for soccer practice or field hockey or basketball. And it's just going to have to be a whole different level. And a lot of kids don't understand that. So we talked about that, and that's exciting. We have a book that we've given them called Mind Gym, An Athlete's Guide to Inner Excellence. And that's one that we're going to be working on. It does have a lot to do with what is this little bit of improvement we're going to see.
So my question for you is, what would you tell these kids? How much are you going to grow in your 4 years of college? If they thought they grew, this much.
Right.
And they feel
we're
like
on radio, people can't
yes,
see
I know,
that.
I know. They grew 2 feet.
Okay, right.
No, if they grew, right. 0 to 10, whatever, right. And they think they're going to grow half as much in college, how much would you tell them they're
going to
grow?
I would say it's probably going to be less than that. I would say it's going to be a third as much or a quarter as much,
okay.
Simply because if you think about it, from a skill level standpoint.
Sure.
Phenomenally from ninth grade to 12th grade is just so developmentally.
Yeah, physically
different.
They're changing.
But
yeah.
I think it, when you start to look at the finer points of the game, when you start to be able to dribble the ball or trap the ball or pass the ball, spike the ball, whatever, hit the ball, whatever it happens to be, or run the race, mm-hmm. I think the incremental change is going to be much smaller. I don't think it's even half as much. I'd be surprised if it's a quarter as much that they will do. Now, what that is significantly important mm-hmm. in terms of how well they're going to perform on the field. Mm-hmm. But they don't make that connection. There's a strong, strong connection between what I do in July as a basketball player and how I play in January. Mm-hmm. But that's very, very hard. And in our world of instant success and instant gratification and everything quick, that doesn't make any sense at all. Mm-hmm. So being able to stay with that out-of-season workout program, being able to perform the same skill at faster pace or with more strength or when someone stronger than you is hitting you at the same time, mm-hmm. that's part of what's going to happen. So I personally think that they were still overrating how much okay. they're going to improve as a player, at least from an outside perspective.
Sure. I'm wondering psychologically, mentally, or whatever word you want to use there, I imagine that growth is a lot bigger in colleges, especially that first year.
Absolutely. I think, okay. But you don't notice that as much. So
right.
I would agree with you that perhaps the total growth experience might be about half, but it's the piece that people don't see, mm-hmm. and they may mm-hmm. not even see mm-hmm. until later. You're right. How do I deal with this? How do I deal with that? How do I read the defense? How do I respond to this situation or that situation? Mm-hmm. So we will talk an awful lot about that. In fact, one of the ones that we start with right away at the beginning of this book, unfortunately, the book has a foreword by Alex Rodriguez, which doesn't really thrill me for that particular part, but it starts with one of the favorite lines from Yogi Berra, who had plenty of wit and wisdom,
yeah.
if you don't know it. A favorite line, one certain to get a laugh, is Yogi's mathematical observation that 90% of the game is half mental.
Yeah.
So we will be exploring that one, because it is. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And that mental part falls into how do I prepare? Again, I told them in the class that I've become extremely frustrated with the whole club program and showcase tournaments and everything else like that. I become very frustrated with that, because that really does not prepare them at all for college. Mm-hmm. Because college is about the preparation for the contest. There is much, much more emphasis placed on practice and being able to do it consistently in practice. Mm-hmm. Because the people you're going up against are going to be just as fast, just as strong, just as skilled as what you are. Mm-hmm. So now, and in high school, you'd run into some teams that you just were much better than they were, mm-hmm. et cetera. Now you're not going to find that. Mm-hmm. So how do you change that mental part? So you're absolutely right, the mental part, but that's the part that drives you to be working on your core strength and your lifting program and your running program in July for basketball in January, mm-hmm. or in baseball in September for April and May. So you're right. The mental piece is most of it, but it's going to affect how do I prepare my body for injury. I mean, the injury rate is much greater in the collegiate level because the game is so much more competitive and stronger and faster, mm-hmm. and all of that. So good questions you raise. It's one of the things we'll do with this class. I'm very excited about it. I'll mention one other one that I'm not going to get into today, but I'll leave it for next week. So remind me that we're going to do that. One of the nice things that I get also to do is to explain Eastern Mennonite University, mm-hmm. because many of these people had no idea either what a Mennonite was. Some don't even know what a Christian is. Mm-hmm. Some people have their own ideas of what Christian school is. And one of the questions we get typically is the U.S. flag and the national anthem, which we don't fly the flag or play the national anthem before. I was able to give them our explanation of that, which I promise you I will do next week. Hey, thanks for joining us this week. We hope that you've enjoyed seeing an inside look at what's going on here, as well as what we're trying to do with the athletes as they come in to be collegiate athletes. And we'll pick it up again next week with some highlights. And I do promise you I'll talk a little bit about flying the flag and the national anthem and why we don't do it here at EMU. But until we can meet again on the radio, as they would say, or on the internet, whatever, thanks for joining us. And until next week, make it a great week.